You are listening to the Ridge Weekly Podcast. To learn more about Chestnut Ridge Church, visit us online at theridge.church. With the high divorce rate and the prevalence of unhappy marriages, many wonder, why bother? No marriage will be perfect, but understanding God's design for marriage and the biblical keys needed to make it work can make all the difference. Listen to this talk from our series, I Do. But do I? As we examine the qualities needed to make a strong marriage and develop other healthy relationships in our lives.
When I was a student at Bible College, I was taking a psychology course, and one day the professor was speaking, and he gave an illustration or a story of a research project that took place at a different university. And basically what happened is a researcher was sent into one of these college classrooms before the teacher arrived, and he got the attention of all the students and said, listen, will you help me with something? He said, I'd like to divide the room directly down the middle here, and I'd like for half of you, once the professor begins to teach, I'd like for half of you to be very alert. Sit up in your seats, maybe leaning forward, you know, you're the one that's participating, giving eye contact, stuff like that. The other half of you, I'd like for you to just be and look as bored as you can be. And so slouch in your seat, maybe even go to sleep, close your eyes, whatever you want to do. And the purpose of the exercise was to determine whether or not the attentiveness or apathy of the students would have some effect on the teacher's performance. Would it impact the professor? And the answer turned out to be yes. The professor arrived and started by talking in the middle of the room there, but began to slowly move over to the side of the room where people were actually paying attention, and soon was only communicating with that side of the room. And he was completely unaware of the effect it was having on him. He just didn't recognize what was happening. It was a very clever study. Well, a couple days after that happened, our professor was late. So someone came up with the idea, and it might have been me. I confess I do things like this. But we came up with the idea, let's divide the room, and you're bored and you're not, you know. So you have to pretend to be really, really into it, and you have to pretend you're bored, which may not require much pretending. I don't know. And so we did it, and it was amazing what happened. The teacher started in the middle. And then began to work over to the one side. So people started laughing in the class, and it was annoying the teacher. So finally said, what are you guys laughing about? And we said, well, you know that study you told us about? We decided to try it on you, and it worked. He did not appreciate being the object of our experiment, being manipulated in that way. The story, though, came to mind because I knew I'd be talking about the subject of listening today, and it illustrates just how profound it is, or how powerful it is when we listen to other people. It has the effect of drawing us closer to them, and that's what was happening. We gravitate toward those who are willing to listen to us. And I think this is true with life in general. Now, I need to mention up front here that this is a subject that I need to grow in myself. I don't always listen as well as I should, and I was trying to reflect why. I do tend to, by the way, if I'm talking to you on Sunday, I tend to be very present. Oftentimes, it's in my own home, sometimes with my wife or whatever. I'm multitasking. I'm just not giving her my attention. But I did wonder, you know, why is it that sometimes I don't listen very well to anyone? You know, what are some of the dynamics at work? And one of the things that occurred to me is that sometimes I just feel I'm too busy. Sometimes even if I'm talking with someone here, I'm aware that I have to do this and have this conversation. I need to be in here in a minute. And so sometimes we're just so busy that it's hard to stand and listen to someone, to really, really listen to them. And sometimes I know I've even thought in my mind, whatever the conversation is, please just get to the bottom line. Have any of you ever done that? Have you ever thought that? Like, I just want the bottom line. And I know that that's happened with me sometimes. But there are other reasons besides busyness. Sometimes I think I already know what's going to be said. And this has happened a few times with my wife in the last couple months, where she started to tell me something, and I decided I knew where she was going with this, and I kind of cut her off. And I didn't listen. And I found out in retrospect she was saying just the opposite. She'd say, that's not what I was going to say. But sometimes this happens, you know. Sometimes it's because they don't want to hear what someone wants to say. I don't want to be corrected about something, or I just know that whatever they're going to say is not something that I'm going to enjoy hearing. And so I just rather tune out to that, and I think we all do that as well. And sometimes it's just I'm tired or lazy. I found that on Sunday afternoons especially, I like to take a nap, and I am exhausted. And it's not just from the two services. It's all the conversations I have before or in between the services. And it just, it wears you out to really listen to other people. It takes a lot of energy. And so sometimes that's what the issue is. But it's critical to relationships that we learn to listen well, especially with marriage. Now, this has been a marriage series, but this week's going to apply to everyone. I think it'll apply especially to if you're married, but it's to literally everyone, what we're going to be talking about here today. I want to give you four reasons why we need to work at listening well, why it's a good thing to do. And the first one is this, that listening is an expression of love. One of the ways in which you demonstrate love for someone else is that you're willing to listen to them, to take the time and really listen to them. Listening is very important. You know, in conversation, in marriage, conversation is one of the most important qualities. I think most of you would recognize that, that if you're talking about having a good marriage, you'd have to address the subject of conversation. If you're talking about conversation, though, there are two aspects of it. There's speaking and there's listening. And I want to suggest that the listening part of it is the most important one. Now, James said in James 1:19, my dearly loved brothers, understand this. Everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Dearly loved brothers, be quick to hear, slow to jump in, slow to become angry. Now, I think all of us struggle with this idea, but what if we really love the idea of orienting ourselves to really just be with someone, in the presence of someone, and really listening to say, I'm here, I'm going to be quick to listen, I'm ready to listen. I think it would be so honoring to other people if we would learn to do that. Now, one thing I wanted to observe, and you'll hear it in some of the verses I'm going to share, is that there are a lot of verses that have the idea of listening and loving in the same verse. Often the words are just a couple words apart, and such is the case in the one I just read. My dearly loved brothers, he reminded them that they're dearly loved, and then he said, really based on the fact you're the loved ones, listen, listen. And these two ideas come together a lot. Jesus even spoke about this. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commands. Now you say, well, wait a minute, that's not listening. Yes, it is. In this case, and in many cases, it's listening. What is Jesus saying here when he says, if you love me, you'll keep my commands? He's saying, if you love me, you'll listen to what I say, and you'll do it. Parents often say something along these lines because they'll tell maybe their son or daughter to go clean their room and then go up later and the room's not clean. And what does the parent say? Parents say, I told you to clean your room. You didn't listen. Now, they did hear what you said. They just didn't listen. And oftentimes, listening and obeying are tied together. Not always. I've had conversations with people before that told me something, and they were maybe even expecting me to do something. And when I didn't do it, they said, you didn't listen to me. And my response was, actually, I did. I heard what you said, but I didn't agree with it. So listening and obeying don't always go hand in hand, but sometimes they do. But loving and listening oftentimes go hand in hand. Let me make an unusual connection related to this. For millennia, devout Jewish people have been praying what's called the Shema twice a day, in the morning and in the evening. It's a special prayer. A lot of people believe this is the most important prayer you can pray. And to this day, and for millennia, people have been praying the Shema in the morning and in the evening. The start of the Shema comes from Deuteronomy 6, 4, and 5, where we read, listen, Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Now, this is called the Shema because that's the Hebrew word for hear or listen. My Bible translates it, listen, Israel. But again, I find it interesting. It says, listen, and then love me with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Those two ideas oftentimes go hand in hand. Now, specifically here, God was saying, listen to this truth that there's only one God, and I am He. You know, because all the nations around worship many gods, and He was setting Himself apart. He said, listen to me. Listen to what I'm saying. Pay attention. I'm the only true God, and love me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then this idea of listening is all over in the Old Testament and New Testament as well. People of Israel, you did not listen. Listening is a starting point, but it's a reflection of our love. Author David Augsburger wrote, being heard is so close to being loved that for the average person, they're almost indistinguishable. And when you feel really heard by someone, you feel so honored, so loved, so affirmed, it's hard to tell the difference between just listening and loving. You can't love well without listening. But let me give you another reason why it matters that we listen well, and that is that it draws us closer to one another. The thoughts that we have, all of us have thoughts that are buried deep within us. All of us, you think things that nobody knows, and I'm sure you're thankful. If we could read what everyone's thinking, even this morning, I know some of you are saying, oh, when is he going to be done? But we think things deep in our heart, right, in our soul, and then communication is about getting it out. In the Old Testament, in several places, the idea here is likened to a well with a deep well with water at the bottom. And so, like in Proverbs 20 and verse 5, Solomon wrote, counsel in a man's heart is deep water, but a man of understanding draws it out. Now, this uses the word counsel in a man's heart. This can be translated a plan in the heart. The idea, though, is that there's wisdom buried within that heart, and the goal is to draw it out. How do you draw it out? Now, the only way you can draw it out, I think, is by listening. Do I care enough about this other person to get to the bottom of what is buried deeply down there? Now, one of the reasons I struggle with this is that people ask my opinion about a lot of things, and oftentimes I am in a hurry. And so when they ask me about this problem or that situation, I usually have three or four things you can do. And if you've talked to me, you know that's the case. I'll give you, well, I'd recommend these things. But if time prevailed, it would be much better to help draw out of that person what's buried deep within, for them to see it, realize that there's understanding and wisdom buried in there. But it takes a lot of work to do that. Now, this very act of sharing with one another what's in our hearts is something that demonstrates that we have a relationship with someone or a friendship with someone. Jesus put it this way in John 15:15. He said, I do not call you slaves anymore because a slave doesn't know what his master is doing. I have called you friends because I've made known to you everything I've heard from my Father. Do you see what he's saying there? Jesus, of course, was their teacher. He was called their master. And they were regarded as his servants, or actually the Greek word is slaves. You're to do what I say. But Jesus is saying here, I don't call you slaves anymore. I call you friends. And the proof of it, that he was their friend, was that he said, I revealed to you what God revealed to me. I heard my Father and I passed it on to you. The sharing of what was in my heart that I passed on to you is proof or evidence of the fact that you're my friend. Because not everyone does that, but friends do that. We share what's in our hearts. And Jesus even did that with his disciples here. And something happens when we share with one another, especially at a deep level. Several years ago, my wife and I attended a conference that was on spiritual health, but also on relationships. It was not a marriage conference. It was just a regular conference to learn various things. And at one point, they had this exercise where they said, we want all of you to pair up with somebody. And of course, in my case, it was my wife, but others were pairing up with maybe people from their church or whatever else. It was a church conference type of thing. But anyway, we were told you're to sit knee to knee with that other person, knees almost touching. And you're to look at them in the eyes as we begin this exercise, which is hard to have someone look directly in your eyes. It's, you know, they say the eye is the window of the soul, you know, revealing things inside. We're so good at hiding those things. But we were told we were going to do this exercise, and it was an exercise related to active listening. So some of you have done that before. We were instructed, find something that is burdening you, something that is heavy on your heart that you're going to share with that other person. One rule was that it was not allowed to be something with that other person or involving the other person. It had to be a neutral subject, something buried in your heart. And so I came up with something that I was going to share with my wife, and then we were to practice some active listening, which active listening basically is they say something and you repeat it back, sometimes with their own words, sometimes with different words. You say, so what you mean by this is this, or what you said this, right? And they nod, yes. And if you don't say it quite right, which, by the way, if you do this, you'll find out we don't hear very well. But if you say it right, they'll nod and say yes and whatever. So the essential component of this exercise, though, was that you were not allowed to fix anything. You're not allowed to comment about what they said. You weren't to evaluate it. You were just to listen. I mean, you can empathize with it, but this was not about solving the problem you brought forth. It was simply an exercise. Can you listen, keep your mouth quiet, and really know what's being said there? So I began to share with my wife something that was a burden to me and bothering me. The thing about what I shared was that it was something I knew she didn't agree with. She didn't share the same burden I did about this thing. And I was sharing something where I would get understanding from her so that maybe she would understand why this thing bothered me so much. And so I began to share this thing, and she was repeating back what I was saying. And suddenly, at a certain point, I realized she really hears me. She understands what I'm saying. And I almost broke down crying right on the spot to be so deeply understood. You see, it's almost like an incarnation we're talking about here. You know, the incarnation, Jesus is the Son of God, the eternal Son of God, and the eternal God, the Son. And so he's always existed, but he came and entered our world, took on flesh and blood and humanity, and he lived among us, among sinners, and he understood completely then what it meant to be a man. Well, we do kind of an incarnation of sorts when we really listen to other people. The goal is to say, I want to understand so much that I feel the burden you do for that thing. I'm not going to fix it or correct it, but what if I really understood it? Now, as a side note related to this, our ability to listen to Jesus is one of the signs that you even know him. It's about a relationship with Christ, of course. How you get to heaven is a relationship with Christ. But Jesus said in John 10, 27 and 28, he said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. Then Jesus said, I give them eternal life and they will never perish ever. No one will snatch them out of my hand. Now, this is why I believe that if you put your faith in Christ, you're secure. No one can snatch you out of Christ's hand. No one can snatch you out of the Father's hand. Now, this is something I would hope we'd all want. I mean, you read that verse 28, I give you eternal life. I hope you want eternal life. I have run into some that didn't, and I understand why, because they thought this world is tough as it is, and you're talking about eternal life. I'm not interested in living forever. But it's a misunderstanding of what this new life is going to be. Eternal life is going to be no sin, no sorrow. You'll never get tired. You'll never get bored. All the things that make this life tough are going to be removed. It's going to be wonderful, joyous, and you'll be glad it is forever. But we should want to be in that group, experiencing eternal life with God in heaven. So he says at the front end of this, then, verse 27, he said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. I'm just saying that this is a sign that you have the eternal life he then talks about. Do you hear the voice of Christ? I don't mean audibly. I mean that you sense that the Spirit of God, I mean, in 1 John, John wrote, the Spirit of God confirms within your heart you're indeed a child of God. And within your heart, you should say, I know you're speaking to me, Jesus. And then, of course, we follow him. The illustration here is a shepherd and sheep. Now, the thing about a sheep and a shepherd is that a different shepherd shows up and says, come on, guys, follow me. The sheep won't follow because they don't know his voice. But Christians do. We recognize the voice of Christ. A couple weeks ago, we had a baby dedication here. And so all these babies were on the stage, but one of them was my granddaughter. And it was just so adorable to see all these babies and everything. I don't know, 12 of them, maybe families. I don't remember how many, but the whole stage was filled if you saw it. But one was mine. And so some of my family members were filming this as I was doing this little dedication piece. All the babies on the stage were just looking around except one. There was one little baby there in all the pictures and the video. There was one baby that was looking like, stretching her neck to see, she recognized the voice. It was just obvious to everybody, like, that's his. I mean, all of you would have known. I say, which baby do you think is our granddaughter? If you would have looked up there, every one of you said, it's got to be that one right there. He hears the voice. Now, if you don't know where you stand, and if you know Christ, the simple way in which we enter into this relationship is saying yes to Jesus to be your Savior. To acknowledge that you have a sin problem that you can't fix. We can't fix our sinfulness, so God sent his son for this reason, to die for you, to pay the price. And he rose from the dead, and the payment was accepted by God. But we have to say yes to Jesus. We say, I put my trust in you. I receive you. I want to be one of your sheep. But this is one of the signs, your ability to hear and listen to Christ. A third reason why we should listen is that it helps us resolve conflicts. Listening helps resolve conflicts. Earlier, I quoted James 1. Let's read it again, but I'm going to add verse 19 or verse 20 to the verse I read earlier. My dearly loved brothers, understand this. Everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger, for man's anger or people's anger does not accomplish God's righteousness. The people to whom James was writing were having a lot of trouble getting along. They were fighting, they were arguing, they were showing partiality. Their speech was horrible toward one another. And so you read the book, it's all over the place. And so he begins early, this very first chapter, he says, you need to get in the habit of listening first, and then be slow to speak, and slow to get angry. It's hard to do. To say, okay, I'll listen. We don't do it very well. I've had couples in my office that they just are, I give one an opportunity. You know what this is like. The one begins to speak, the other jumps in immediately. That's not what happened. I say, would you, I want to hear. And then I go to the other one. I don't do that, by the way, so I don't want a bunch of phone calls. But it is a secret. It's a secret, one of the secrets to getting along with one another. What if everyone had this perspective that before just reacting, which is what we do, someone says something, we react. Instead of reacting, listen, you know, then speak, but be really, really slow to get angry. I think it could make a difference. And a lot of, again, my issues with my own wife were that I kind of reacted to something, but I didn't stop to listen. In Proverbs 18:13, Solomon wrote, the one who gives an answer before he listens, it's foolishness and a disgrace for him. You make yourself a fool and you embarrass yourself. When you jump right in, and this again has happened to me, where I thought someone was saying something, I cut them off, and then I found out later, oh, you're saying the opposite. I'm sorry, I should have listened first, and I kind of made a fool of myself. Now, this is something we need in our society today. In my whole life, I've never seen such a polarized society, and it's getting worse and worse. And a big part of it is we're not listening to people that have a different perspective at all. And so I hear people that would disagree with me on my values, on politics, whatever it would be, and I hear them describing me or people like me, they think they are, but they're mischaracterizing all of it, and I'm thinking, if you would just stop and listen, that's not what anybody is saying. They're getting furious. They're getting angry with these either Christians or these people over here, this or that, and they're not listening. And then it happens both ways. You know, people have really strong opinions about things. What if we had more of the posture to say, I'm getting really curious why you are so strong about this area in your life? Why is it? I don't understand it. Because again, I'm telling you, people that disagree with me, they don't understand me at all. That's why. And I hear the same talking points. All of them saying the same talking points. You don't have a clue why I'm so strong about this issue. Stop. Listen, I'll tell you. And then whether you agree with it or not, it's another thing. But powerful things happen when people feel at least understood. How many people have gotten into arguments over the years or something happened to someone and it resulted in a lawsuit of some kind? And then the person said, if they had just listened to me, I wouldn't have sued them. But they got so tired of the fact that nobody would listen. They just wanted to be heard. And I think this could be something that could heal our society. The final reason we should listen well is that it allows us to acquire knowledge and wisdom. In other words, we might learn something. In addition to listening being an expression of love and drawing us closer together, helping us resolve conflicts, it allows us to learn some things about knowledge and wisdom. When I was preparing this talk, I thought, what books in the Bible address the subject of listening? And I realized there were two main ones. They were Proverbs in the Old Testament, James in the New. And so many Proverbs address this, the very beginning of Proverbs 1. In Proverbs 1:5, Solomon said, a wise man will listen and increase in learning. If you're wise, you'll listen, you'll actually learn something. And a discerning man will obtain guidance. You have discernment, you'll even go out and listen to more people that you can listen to because you'll end up with a better result if you do that. A couple verses later, he challenged his son. He said, listen, my son, to your father's instruction. Don't reject your mother's teaching. Listen to what your father says. Don't reject what your mother is saying. And then it goes on to say it'll be like an ornament around your neck. It'll be a source of glory for you and wonder for you if you listen to what they have to say. Now, I realize that when we're younger, we look at our parents and think, you don't know anything. And it is true that your parents don't know some things. I'm realizing, for example, that emojis don't mean what I think they do. You know, I remember put that little emoji on there. It's so cute. I had no clue what it's talking about, an emoji. Or for probably over a year, I thought LOL meant lots of love. That's what I thought it meant, lots of love. So I'd say, I'm so sorry about the death of your mother, LOL. I realized parents don't know some things, but they do know a thing or two. They do see a thing or two. They do know you. They do know what's good and right. Not always, not everything, but they have a wealth of wisdom and understanding. It's why God even set it up this way, that children would be born within this context so that you can grow and listen and learn. Do you want to be wise? Listen. Do you want to avoid trouble? Listen. You know, do you want to be someone who prospers? Do you want to make good decisions? Do you want to be someone who gets along with others? Listen. Proverbs 12:15, we read, a fool's way is right in his own eyes, but whoever listens to counsel is wise. And listening is so important. Even Jesus addressed this subject. He talked about evaluating your listening. He said in Luke 8 and verse 18, therefore take care how you listen. Take care how you listen. For whoever has more will be given to him, and whoever does not have even what he thinks he has will be taken away. Now, Jesus said this right after the parable of the sower and the seed. And so he's basically saying, you listen to me. I'm casting seed out there. You better be careful. You pay attention how you're listening to this. Because if you don't, you're going to lose what even you thought you knew. You will learn something if you really listen, if you pay attention. Now, this is specifically talking about Jesus and listening to him, but it applies to all relationships. As we listen to other people, we get a greater and greater understanding. So let me summarize what I'm saying here and add a couple other thoughts. Listening, again, is an expression of love. I view it as a gift you give someone. If you listen, it's a gift that draws us closer to other people. Something happens when our hearts are connected with someone else. It is a key to resolving conflicts. It won't always happen, but it is a way for us to grow and learn as well. Now, I recognize that listening is only half the equation. And James talked about the other half. I don't want to spend just a minute on this, but in James 1:26, James said, if anyone thinks he's religious without controlling his tongue, then his religion is useless and he deceives himself. So James talked about the importance of listening, but then he says, but if you're the one who's speaking, control your tongue, because your religion's worthless if you don't. Now, that's a strong statement, but here's the thing. We can call ourselves godly people, but what comes out of our mouth reveals what's really inside there. And so if garbage is coming out, it's just an indication what's inside, and you're discrediting your whole story about being godly. And so it is important. Aristotle was speaking on the subject of anger, and he said, anyone can be angry, that's easy. But to be angry with the right person, to the right degree, at the right time, for the right purpose, in the right way, that's not easy. I think the same thing is true with our listening to other people, talking to the right people to the right degree, learning how to become more effective in our communication. Now, James acknowledged you can't tame the tongue. He called it a restless evil full of deadly poison. He referred to it like a fire that spreads or a snake that bites. But by the grace of God, we can grow. By the grace of God, we can learn to control our tongue. And if we can control our tongue, we'll be better at the listening part of it as well. So I want to ask you to consider doing this. Number one, just pay attention to how you're listening in the days ahead. Just ask yourself as you're talking with people, how am I doing with listening? Number two, pay attention to the balance between your talking and your listening to make sure that those things are in balance. Third, I think you could become much more of an expert in listening by having questions. You know, sometimes we're afraid to talk with other people, but if you have questions, they do all the talking and you just sit back and enjoy it. We can get better at conversation if we would do that, ask good questions. And finally, maybe pay attention to bad habits you have, like the tendency to interrupt people or finish their sentences, which when we're impatient and whatever, or busy, those things tend to happen. Let's pray. Father, we recognize that this is an area that could really make a difference in our relationships. So give us grace to apply what we've heard today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Ridge Weekly Podcast. If you'd like to hear more messages now, you can check out our past series at theridge.church/messages or download the free Ridge app. Thanks again for listening, and we will see you next time.